In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, we have begun a new year in the church. This Advent season, as I'm sure you're well aware, starts out the new church season. So it's time to change out all your books so you know you're getting all the right readings going forward. And as we enter into this season of Advent, we are remembering that God came into this world, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, through the birth of the Christ child. But we are also in preparation for the time in which he will come again. So this time of Advent is very clearly one of those times where we are reaching back and looking forward all at the same time. And it's a very important time of the year. It's one of a time of preparation. So we're preparing our hearts, not just, you know, Christmas trees and stuff, but preparing our hearts to receive the coming Lord. And as we enter this Advent season, this first Sunday, we hear in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus is sort of reporting on that second coming. Now, he has just finished foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem. So that was very specific, speaking to the Jewish people and how they would be kind of dispersed and such on those days. And then he moves forward talking about there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. When he speaks of the nations, you need to hear that it's not the nation. He's speaking of all people, all nations, to where the word of God will go, are going to be involved in this next phase of his second coming, although those hearing him in Luke at that moment probably weren't 100% sure what he meant, although it sounded familiar in comparison to what they had heard from the prophets. So as he moves forward, he also references the nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. And we know from the very beginning, in the beginning, there was chaos. And the word of God was spoken over the chaos. Amen? This is a reference to that. The sea is representative of chaos in ancient times. Probably not a bad thing for us to think of today. So think about this concept that Jesus is saying to these folks, there's going to be this time of chaos. And in the midst of it, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. They will see him coming. Listen to what he says. In the midst of chaos, people fainting from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, he says, now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I love that. In the midst of the chaotic world, Jesus is saying, things are probably going to look a little worse to you. And when you see them getting worse, you need to know that your salvation is near. I am coming again at that time, and he will reign. There will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth, and he will reign. And he says, so when you see those things, don't panic. Stand up and know your redemption is drawing near. And in case they weren't catching on, he tells them again in a parable about the fig tree and how he knows that they know when they see the leaves that summer is coming. So he's saying to them, you understand this concept of looking for signs of something that may be coming next. In fact, it's not even a maybe coming next, it is definite. When they see the leaves on the fig tree, they know that summer's coming. Just as we know around here as we drive further east that we see all those black plastic pieces that run for miles now have green plants with little red dots, so we know the Strawberry Festival is coming, amen? We know this is happening. It's not a maybe. It's definite. We see the signs. We're used to seeing the signs. He's letting them know. You're used to seeing and interpreting signs. Look for these. Look for these signs. Then you will know that this time is near. And in the middle of that, he says again in verse 31, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Now it's getting just a little confusing, isn't it? Your salvation is near, the kingdom of God is near, and it's in the middle of chaos? That seems to be what he's saying, right? So we have to think about that for a moment, don't we? He's saying, be ready, be aware, see what's happening. And then he moves on to this concept of watching. Be on guard, verse 34 says, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. That day in which our Lord Jesus Christ will return to his creation to reign for eternity. We'll see him coming. We'll see the signs before he comes. And some will say that, oh, we're in the end times. And I would say to you, yeah, ever since the crucifixion and the resurrection, we have been there. These things have been happening. You may have noticed. There's a few things going on, isn't there? I don't know how long they'll be. Nobody knows when he's going to come. The question is, do we know that he's coming? Do we look at all the chaos that's going on around us, and do we stand up in the midst of the chaos, or do we tremble in fear and faint away? Becomes the question for us today. And I would say Jesus is saying very clearly, stand up, be prepared, be ready. And we can see the little bits and pieces of chaos around us. And we can see the things that are not really of God, not the way we understand God. When we see a child without a home, we can say, that doesn't sound like God, does it? We can see someone who is hungry with nothing to eat and think, that certainly can't be of God, can it? We can see the struggles in the world, and we can say, I don't think that's of God. And our response then matters from that point. We can say, well, if this is true in the world, there must not be a God, because I don't want anything to do with a God who lets that happen. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, that he's looking for a people who couldn't stand to watch it happen. He's calling on us to say, stand up in the middle of what you see, look to the heavens, and recognize that I will come again, and I will reign. But in this time, when you see the struggle, stand up. If you see somebody hungry, feed them. If you see somebody naked, clothe them. If you see someone who has been pushed off to the side, draw them into the center. Amen? He is saying to us, respond. I say to you today, respond fully to what is happening. A few years back when I was in seminary, I somehow managed to become a representative for Episcopal Relief and Development. And they would gather us, two from each seminary, and we'd all meet at another seminary somewhere for 3 or 4 days. And the one year that we went, we were talking about one of the programs, Nets for Life. You heard of it? Yeah, they collect monies and they buy nets and they get them to places where malaria is the number one killer. Which sounds great, right? Now, I'm not trying to say anything against the church that I'm vowed to follow and be with, but I have to tell you, at that meeting, they handed out the brochure and said, this is the new brochure we're going to use, and this was a number of years ago. And we went through it and we're looking at it and everybody, oh, that's really nice, that's really great. They were getting a little help from a corporate thing with some money. And I looked at it and my friend looked at it and we're kind of consulting a little bit together. I said, how do people know this is actually an act of God, these nets? There's nothing in here that identifies the good news of Jesus Christ. Not one word of Scripture was present. And after some conversation, seminarians like to argue, I don't know if you know that. So after some discussion, seminarian style, it was brought up again, and one young man stood up and he goes, what is wrong with you? Looking to me, I think more to my friend, I hope. Why is this such a big deal to you? We're doing good work. And I said, yeah, you're doing good work. But without the good news of the gospel, they are still dying. Lots of people do good work. The church does his work. We are about the business of the Father. We are about bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are in desperate need. Now, if we get to them and they're hungry, feed them. But do not forget to give them all that you have been sent with. Don't just give them something to eat. Give them something that saves. Give them the good news of Jesus Christ. You know it and you feel it, but we've entered into a time in the world, brothers and sisters, where we are beginning to be shunned for doing just that. And to that I would say, stand up. It's time. We are seeing the signs. It's time. Or we can step back and say, don't I pay taxes to take care of that? Which, by the way, has that ever worked? No. And you know what? It never will. Because it's not just about the food. It's not just about the clothes. It's not just about the health care. It's not just about the respect. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about the good news of the gospel. It is about salvation. And that, brothers and sisters, is the task we have been given at this time. We do not want to be caught unaware. He is coming. And he's trusting us for whatever reason to be the bearers of the good news, to be the witnesses of his glory. See, the world can only give worldly responses to spiritual problems. We, the church, we are the ones called to bring the godly response to the world's struggle. All we have to do is bear witness to the glory of God. He handles the rest. But if we don't bear witness, it won't be heard. So feed, clothe, love, offer compassion, but do it fully in the name of Jesus. Little thing for you to try this week. Has anybody ever said to you, especially if they just found out you're a Christian, oh, pray for me? Or maybe we might think to write a little note. Pray for him. Right then, right there. Pray for him. Ask if you can put your hand on him. It's okay if I pray with you right now? Okay, good. Freak him out. Do it on the phone. Oh, pray for me, Father. Okay, let's do that right now. Okay. Do it. Because we think the world's going to shut us down, and I'll tell you what, the world can't. The world thinks it can. Jesus himself encountered the evil one right after he was baptized, amen? He didn't give in to his little distractions. He stood in the midst of that chaos. We're called to do the same. Chaos cannot stand over the word of God. The world cannot do anything to stop the word of God unless the people bearing witness to the word of God are afraid of the world. A friend of mine who's a priest who's no longer in this area but was at a time, driving down the road, got to the intersection, lots of traffic, homeless guy. Can you help me, Father? Because I really don't have anything to offer you. I can pray for you. Oh, pray for me. He put his car in park and got out and prayed for him. And then the man went on his way and he got in his car. He was in Tampa, sitting in a right-hand turn lane. Nobody honked their horn. Nobody. See, the world cannot stand against the word of God. We live in the victory of Jesus Christ, not in fear and foreboding. We aren't the ones who faint away when we see these signs. We are the ones who stand up. We are the ones who look at the chaos and say, what to me would bring peace in that chaos? And we know full well that what that is that brings that is our knowledge of God, amen? We know it, don't you? I know it. Do you know that? So when we see the chaos in the world, if we truly want to see it end, we have to say to them, look at Jesus. What a perfect time of year. Look at Jesus. Everybody is going to be looking. Some intentionally, and some just because it's going to be there. It's the one time in the world where you can put up your big sign that says Jesus saves and your neighbors aren't going to say a word, right? You can put that little nativity scene right in the middle of your front yard and nobody's going to say a word. It's time. Bring the fullness of what it means. Speak God's word into the chaos of our lives, in the world around us. It won't happen any other way. The task is ours. We are the godly response to the worldly chaos. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, indwelling the church, God will reign, but the church must be willing to see the sign and stand. Amen.